Shalom. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we shall rejoice in it. Let's get ready to go before our Abba in prayer before we get into the lesson today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our God is one. All praises to the Most High. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. I am V, the Preacher. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. Some of you tuning in through YouTube. But we have a lesson today where I want to get to the core of some things that have bothered me this week. Once again, the grafters, not the grifters, the grafters who want to be grafted in, replace us. We got identity theft still happening in 2022. If it's not the Romans, the Khazars, Esau, the Edomites, it just never stops. The $5 Indians, that's what they called them. It's real, because there were two sets of indigenous people that owned the land prior to Columbus for over 2,000 years before he discovered it. And then we got Neanderthal DNA mixed with our people. We got the fallen angel DNA mixed with the indigenous, who are the people of Yah. We're going to break it down again today. I've seen a sister that did the same lesson today as well. She got into the same history that I had, but I thought it'd be nice to have a little change of pace and hear a different voice on the radio, as I used to do years ago, where I had multiple brothers on the radio, and let her present some of the history. She will not be teaching or reading scriptures or precepts, because we don't do that in Israel. But of course, we got a lot of sisters out here doing it because they under this liberalism and equality and feminism, not understanding the operation of the spirit that's at work. Make room for the brothers, because the congregation of the Lord has spoken of Ezekiel are men, and society has pushed them down right after the civil rights, just kicked them out of our black households, our families, so women, they couldn't get money unless they got rid of their men. And we're calling back the real men of Israel. All praise to the Most High. Before we get into the lesson, so as you can hear, I'm going to get some of this off the chest, because I'm going to make sure this is played on different platforms before they begin to censor everything. And there's a new AI out there, and a new algorithm has been created to further try to deter this truth and censor the voice of those that are speaking the truth of, because all the information and knowledge is coming forth, and all of their alterations and lies are being exposed. Psalms, the first chapter, the first verse. Blueprint of life, we are here to establish the substratum of the commandments that were never done away with. We're going to talk about Israel, who was never done away with today. But the commandments were never done away with. And that Christian church has been lying to you for the last few hundred years, telling you you have to keep them. Just live under grace. We're going to expose some of that lie today as well, as we establish true Israel never being replaced. We know about the Balfour Treaty, the Khazars, the Rockefellers purchasing the land of Palestine that they called Israel. We're not going to get into all that today. There's other lessons in the past that I've done that you can go through the archives and find that break some of that down. And we got a lot of people out here teaching. There are many teachers out here that are teaching. Your fascination shouldn't be with your teachers, but allow the Ruach HaKadosh to lead you, guide you, and teach you the truth. Before we go, I get started into the lesson, because I'm going straight into it. I want to read Psalms, because as I said, we established the substratum, the foundational aspect of the laws never being done away with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you don't call Dr. Phil or your mom and them who don't keep these commandments. I don't need no ungodly counsel when I get mad at such and such. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You are not allowing yourself to be a distraction in this hour to those who don't keep the commandments, who don't love the Most High. If you are an obstacle because you're sitting up kicking it with them, drinking with them, partying with them, and eating big pork ribs at their picnics, you are standing in the way of sinners. Yes, you. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You don't even need to sit around those that are scornful. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Sit in the seat of false Christian religions on Sunday that are worshiping the sun. Because it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here's the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate in day and night. All praises to the Most High for that. Blueprint for Life is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the cultural identity of the original indigenous man, one asleep mind at a time. We establish the culture. Culture and religion aren't one and the same. Religion is a form of bondage. We have come out of her, which is all of the Babylonian religious practices of fallen deities. Culturally, we come back to the laws of our Creator that he gave us. Without any further delay, I have got to go into the fact that I was listening to some people who are scholars, they call themselves, and they have multiple books. I'll call one of them Rob Skiba. And these people think that they are scholars and professors as it pertains to the Watchers, the fallen angels, the antediluvian world, the pre-Adamite world, what happened to Adam and Eve, and got the nerve to sit up here and say that everybody in the origin of the indigenous were pink people. See, so they'll go so far with 99 to 95% of the truth and then usher themselves back in there with replacement theology because they want to be inclusionists and be included in the promises. But we're going to expose some of that today. There was a group of students from Harvard University. They always think they're discovering something that we don't know and that they have to go to these institutes of so-called higher learning, which are nothing but dumbed down institutions, because you are spoon-fed a curriculum that they expect you to regurgitate in what they call a finals and thesis paper to make sure that they have programmed you and indoctrinated you properly before they give you their piece of paper to say that you're somebody. It's a joke, people. But these people think that they discovered a new group of people called the Natufians. Well, no, Natufians, they were Israelites. They were Eber Yasharala. They were the Israelites. And now they're calling them Natufians. And they said that these people weren't tampered with by Neanderthal DNA, because they know that Neanderthal DNA is a whole other creation not made by our Creator. Satan has been trying to duplicate everything that the Most High has done. There are things on this earth you need to know that was not of the Most High, his creation. No, there are deceptions in this earth, hybrids in this earth, GMOs in this earth, hybrid humans in this earth, clones in this earth, soulless ones in this earth. Listen to what they said.
The Natufians. Natufians were the original inhabitants of the Middle East. They lived in countries like Israel, Jordan, Syria, Palestine, Turkey, and are to be the inventors of agriculture 12,500 years ago. Invention triggered the development of first civilizations in all these areas. They are also the first people to make bread. Several biologists like Yusuf Lazaridis and Adam Roland studied their bodies. They found out that the indigenous people from the Middle East had Y chromosomes of African origin and that they didn't experience Neanderthal admixture. It made them different from all other later populations in the Levant. In other words, they were black African explorers who settled in the area after the last ice age. Their haplogroup, E1B1, is the main haplogroup inside the African continent today. In its original form, it's almost exclusively found among black African populations from countries such as Ghana, Ethiopia, Burkina Faso, Senegal, South Africa, Gambia, Cameroon, Tanzania, and even among some African Americans. So, we can say that Africans invented...
So, once again, they want to say that Africans invented agriculture. So, once what they've done, created another name for the people that were found in this, what they call the Middle East, and They took up these bones from the graves, studied their chromosomes, found out it was E1B1A. We know about that. We already discussed this haplogroup thing because some of our brothers and sisters are going too far to the left with this. Because we know that God has a way of changing your DNA. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He actually changes your genetics through his Ruach HaKadosh. Go into the archives and listen to that. We know E1B1 is predominant in the African subcontinent, but it was not known as Africa. It was the land of Ham. It was a Negro land. All these names have been changed, and they still want to relegate it to certain parts of Africa. And they said, and even some African Americans, you heard that. And they call them Natufians. Anything but to say that they are Israelites. They said they settled there after the Ice Age. They always have their faulty carbon dating system, which tells them things are millions of years old, when we know that this planet and Adam's existence, as far as when Adam started, only goes back to 6,000 years. And we're getting ready to go into the 7,000 year, which would be the time of Jubilee and Sabbath. But that's neither here nor there. I play this so you can see how they still will not relegate E1B1 to being the indigenous people, the family of Yah, that he created. Talking about they were the original people that understood agriculture. We know this. We already know that. But for you to repackage it, change it, and say you are nothing but Africans, and they were just migrating, and they didn't give them another name. But one thing I like that they said is that these were a group of people did not mix with the Neanderthals. You can see who the Neanderthals Cro-Magnon man is. Yes, Esau, Edomites, fallen angel DNA. There was a lot of mixing going on, but there was a people that were pure. They were Israelites, not Natufians, E1B1A, untainted. Let's get into it. I'm not going to belabor the time. Got a lot of things to play. Let's start off with Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. To establish precedence for our lesson today. After Deuteronomy 7, we're going to read a few other scriptures and get into some history so that you can follow along with the title of this lesson, True Israel Never Replaced. I start my foundation with Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, these are fallen angel DNA, Neanderthal, some of them were nations of giants. These were the people that are trying to mix amongst us and include themselves into the promise made strictly for us. And we're going to find out later why they tried to change our belief system to include themselves. Because they said that this is not the same God they want to serve, a God that drives out nations and says, destroy these nations, kill everything that comes from these nations. They'll try to say that's not a loving God. No, he's a God looking out for his people. Verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. They hate that part. And utterly destroy them. They don't like that. They like God so loves the world. That's the part. Blind. Love has no color. No, he told us to stay away from them. Let's keep reading. Thou shalt utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenants with them. No peace treaties, no contracts. Don't do nothing with these people. That's the way it was meant to be originally. Verse 3 explains it even more. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. We were never supposed to intermarry as America is pushing today. God created things to be what they are as pure. Hybrids is the intermingling of the two. That is the breaking of the law in Leviticus. He told us not to even wear garments with mixed, like wool, you know, other fabrics. And you see a lot of this hybrid stuff going on with the fruits and vegetables. Thank God for Dr. Sebi, who exposed a lot of hybrid fruits and vegetables that we didn't even know were hybrids made in the lab, or genes spliced to create that. One of them is a carrot. I was blown away. Cauliflower. And I could go on and on. But let me stay here with Deuteronomy 7, the setting of the precedent. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. thou shalt not give to his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. The Most High didn't want us mixing with these people. And it's funny how the Harvard people found that these people that were in Israel, so-called Middle East, it's not the Middle East, folks, that's connected to Africa. Man built the canal, the Suarez, what is it, the Suez Canal was man-made to create a small island, an isthmus, that would connect the piece of land but really try and separate it. So the Suez Canal was created by man to separate that portion of land from Africa so they could tell you it wasn't Africa. And then Winston Churchill coined the phrase Middle East. It's not the Middle East, it's Africa. Israel, Jerusalem, as the book of Psalms says, the mother of us all. Verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars. This is what we were told to do with these false individuals that he didn't promise the earth to. The earth is only promised to the chosen people of Yah. These people all fight now to keep it away from us. He told us to destroy their little altars to their gods and their idols and their fallen deities and even the people worshiping the ancestors. All of that is to be destroyed. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their images with fire. Why? For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God, listen closely, hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. That's the part they don't like, which is why we got replacement theology, where the church has replaced Israel, where the Khazars, Ukrainians, have stolen our religion, but they're really worshiping Satan and studying the Talmud, and where Edomites have changed our images, starting in the time during the Maccabees and during the 8th century. They sought to change the likenesses of our images that we created and whitewashed everything. They want to be us because of this. Verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. He didn't switch that up in the book of Acts with the grafting in and cutting off of the roots and the branches. I understand that scripture, but you need to understand that that is the northern kingdom, which many of the northern kingdom have blended themselves in with the Gentile population and are scattered before Judah, Benjamin, and Israel, who are key to the initial awakening and will be warriors fighting with Christ when he returns. And then Christ will bring us back together. But they are not, they're not over us. He didn't pull this covenant back. And the new covenant after Christ died, we understand what that means. Deuteronomy 7 and 6 says the same thing as 1 Peter and 2 and 9. Thou art a chosen people, a royal generation. We'll read that a little bit later. Let me finish 7. Verse 7 says this, 7 and 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, Israel, because you were more in number than any people. For you were of all people. We had become outnumbered by all these fallen angel DNA giants and everything that was roaming the land. We had to drive them out of our land because Satan in all of his anger did not want Adam to be over him. He hated the Most High's creation and still does with a passion. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. To a thousand generations. Let me help you out. Some people say a generation is 40 years, some say 70 years. Fact of the matter is, and if you understand the book of Deuteronomy, the time frame in which it was written, and then you do 70 times 1,000, and you put that information together, you'll understand that what he was trying to say is that this covenant will last forever. I mean, this is 1,000, think about it. I'll tell you what, let's go to a generation being 40 years. And then let's do 1,000 generations. That's 40,000 years, people. There is no 40,000 years from this time, even up until 2022. He does not get rid of his promises. To 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You know they hate God? We're going to get into this later. You're going to find out that that the early Roman Catholic Church, and we're going to find out who's responsible for it, they said the God of the Old Testament is another God. He's a mean God. He's an evil God. He's not the same God of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that just a little. Just hang in there. Verse 11, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to the judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, he will bless thee, multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, thy increase. Why wouldn't I keep the commandments? As of today, there we're in the final captivity. These curses are on our people, but the blessing and the containment, the substance that we feed from is incurred through our obedience of keeping the commandments. There's always a remnant. So there's a blessing when you are in sync with the heavenly tablets and the angels and with what the Father originally ordained. Does it totally destroy the curse that's on our people? No, that will not happen until the consummation of times, until Christ comes back to redeem and bring salvation to the family, his people that he called. He said, thou shalt, verse 14 said this, the ones that are keeping the commandments, thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. And he said, I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate you. The ones that hate the fact that you are of the chosen seed of Yah, you're of the family of Yah, and you distinguish yourself by what? The Sabbath is a sign between us and him. The commandments, the way you eat. That's why he'll give us revelational knowledge like he gave Dr. Sabi. And Dr. Sabi goes around curing our people of cancer, diabetes, lupus, and being able to fight against that. And who tried to kill him? Esau, Edomites, didn't like the fact that we have a connectivity to the Most High to know how to heal our bodies. Same thing he did with Noah in the book of Jubilees, where Noah said, these demons are attacking my children, my grandchildren, Ham, Shem, and Japheth's children. Once they were trying to repopulate the earth, sickness was attacking them. Demons had been set loose again. And he gave him knowledge of herbs to be able to bring a healing. And then on top of that, when we understand the dietary law, that further promotes a healthy temple and body that the Ruach can live in. You are the temple. So in being in sync with the commandments and the laws that were made for us, they provide healing in the land. Keeping the commandments would tell you not to go get Esau's solution and inject something foreign into you that they won't even tell you what they put inside you. Why would you do that to your temple? That is the epitome of ignorance. And I said it, I'm sorry, but that's the time we're living in. Verse 16, thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity on them. Feel sorry for you. You want us dead. These people come in crafty. Let's not forget what happened to the indigenous of the land once Columbus and them came over here. Let's not forget what Thanksgiving is really all about. The craftiness, the fake peace, and then comes sudden destruction. Sitting down, breaking bread with your enemy. And then the next day, after he's gotten them drunk, he destroys all of them and takes what's theirs. Colonizers. Thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shall thy serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand, the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all thy people of whom thou art afraid. Yes, the second Exodus, people, it's coming. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they all be destroyed. And he shall deliver their king into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. Thou shalt no man be able to stand. You're starting to see why they don't like our God, because of the promises he made to us. And he's saying that we are the people that he loves. Let me read some more. The graven images of their gods, you're supposed to be burning them with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee. Complete separation, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. You're supposed to get their idols of Islam, Christianity, Hinduism. A lot of y'all bringing stuff into your house that's in worship to fallen angels and deities and other gods, and you think it's art. You got familiars just roaming around your home. You can't sleep at night. You're scratching, itching, twitching, and wondering where it's coming from. You're still tinkering around with other people's images and idols. And this is how the people are trying to intermingle with us, pushing multiculturalism. No, I don't need that, because some of these people are soulless. Some of these hybrids that have been created are not created by my father. They're not blessed. I was shocked to find out within the last couple of weeks that this man named William Branham, that a lot of black Christians used to follow and worship because they thought he was Elijah reincarnated. That's what he taught. I found out that he mentored Jim Jones. He told Jim Jones personally, I don't believe anything in that Bible. This man has books that people kill each other just to have and read, thinking he was the last prophet, when he was a mason and a sorcerer and a criminal on the run. There's videos out about all this. Predominantly all these Caucasian, Christian, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God pastors were in secret societies and Freemasons. The information is out there. It's vast. I don't need you teaching me, handling my book of prophecies, the oracles of Yah. It is for me, and he called us. He called us for this hour to do what? 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let me change it around for you. A holy race. You're a peculiar that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous world. But see, they live God in that one that's not for everyone, as we have just read. Well, let me make it better for you, that you better understand. Amos 3:2. Amos 3:2 says this: you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities, for your sins. You're the one that's going to get the punishment if you violate Deuteronomy 28 and don't keep my statutes, laws, and commandments. There will be punishment. But the reason why I keep the commandments in today's hour is because he not only said, there's so many scriptures coming to mind. Let me slow down on them. He gives his spirit, I believe it's Acts, the 5th chapter and 32nd verse. I give my spirit to those that obey me. The obedience is, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. 1 John 2 and 3 is, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you're not keeping the commandments, you have no knowledge of him. And knowledge is gnosko in the Greek, which means intimate knowledge. I spend time with him. The time I spend with him is in my due diligence every day of keeping the commandments. That's casting down imaginations, eating right, praying, dressing right, letting your beard grow, your fringes, no pork, no idols, total obedience to this. That's called being sanctified, because it's called being set apart, and that's called being kodesh. That's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as I always speak on this, because I'm so fascinated by conversion and how Christ told Peter, you're going to lie three times, and you're going to cuss and deny me. He said, it's all right. I'll pray for you. He said, go and have fun. This is the Peter that already established that he's the rock, traveled with him for 3.5 years. He hadn't converted yet. He had to go somewhere, be ashamed of himself, repent, and get a transformation. What does that mean? Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of the man. The only thing that can convert you is keeping these commandments. And that's what will make you wise. Back to our foundational message of Deuteronomy 7 chapter. So now Israel is no more. And that's so sick of these people popping up. Now they're trying to not only say Israel's done away with, or that the lost tribes, Ronald Sanders destroyed that years ago before they killed him, Lost Tribes in the Promised Land, a book that's $18,000 on Amazon. The tribes were never lost. 2 Ezra 3 and 69. Columbus found it and found us on this flat plain called Earth. Told the king, I can find these 10 lost tribes and where they're located. And they were scattered throughout the islands of the sea. Jamaica, St. Thomas, Dominican Republic, that's what they call it today. Hawaii, Fiji. Scattered. And the Americas, South America. Then he found us and we were doing just fine. We already understood agriculture, and here come these people messing with us. And they want to be us. Not going to happen. So I'm seeing a pop-up of so many Caucasoids speaking Yiddish Hebrew, saying Yahweh, and trying to say that what tribe they're a part of. And these are lies, people. You of a different seed, a different bloodline. You are not of my family. You are a stranger who wants to sojourn. You want to sojourn. You better get in where you fit in. That's another lesson about the strangers who sojourn amongst us. What? I'm going to say it real quick. It's another lesson, but I can say this. And it's not me saying it. It's the word. See if I'm right here. I believe it says that it did say that the stranger that's amongst us will get high above us. That's the time we're living in now. They've gotten above us. And we have to take them as possessions. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, we're going to grab them as possessions again. They that have led into captivity shall go into captivity. And they will be our possessions, those strangers. They don't want to hear that message. So they're preaching a message, putting themselves in the 144,000, putting themselves at the forefront. and bragging against the natural branches, saying we've all been cut off. We haven't been cut off, and that's what we're going to get into today. We have not been destroyed. He has not done away with his people, and you have no right to boast and brag against us, because if the righteous are scarcely going to make it in, know that just maybe a couple of y'all might make it in. And you best know that. You cannot steal our inheritance as Yiddish-speaking Khazarians and what do they call those people? Ashkenazi Jews. These people don't even worship God. They hate God. They talk about Christ being buried in hell in excrement. These people study Satanism, cannibalism, worship to Moloch, drinking blood, and they read the Talmud. They go by the protocols of the elders of Zion. These people don't want nothing to do with our Savior, our God, our Torah, our book, our Bible. Nothing to do with him. They don't even have an inclination like our people naturally have to praise and bow down. These are the people who are the synagogues of Satan. Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. They know whose identity they have stolen. They're fully aware of it. But today, we're dedicating this particular lesson to the fact of how the Christian church thinks that they have replaced Israel. And we still got our people playing Christianity on Sundays with no idea what they're doing, no knowledge, the history, how it started, where it began. And what I'm going to tell you that we're getting ready to go into, as soon as the apostles died off, then here came this vehement sweeping of a false Christianity. After Peter, Paul, John, all of them were murdered, they began to do away with the foundation of the Israelites and the holy days and usher in their paganism, which is what my people are pushing today on Sundays. And you are seduced with that gospel music because it sure is good. It pulls you in. Then you got to hear that pastor do the narration of him talking about something. He has no idea what he's talking about. He learned it in these Caucasoid seminaries of their false theology to say we don't exist. So many time periods and battles and fights. And they don't want us to wipe them out. These people fight for their lives because they're not supposed to be here. This was not made for them. So they'd rather destroy it than see us with it. I'm going to let this sister read some of the history, which was compiled about this replacement theology, because it's good history.
The knowledge Christian people
doctrine
is that Jesus Christ is the
I don't want to interrupt too much of this, but the key point was that the Christian church started with the Catholic Church and had nothing to do with the apostles. They were the same people that were responsible with Herod, Caesar, for the killing of our Savior, the Black Messiah. And then people began to take work, began to try and whitewash us out. So let's pick it back up. These are all names. I hope you're writing them down. Justin Martyr. And these so-called church fathers were of the Catholic Church. So Catholicism is responsible for trying to erase Israel from the books. And they have a lot of our books in the Vatican underneath that satanic temple where they worship Satan. Do you hear that? Catholic Church wants to believe that the Messiah founded Catholicism, and they began using the word church to get rid of Israel. Now, how many of them little pastor, Chitlin Eden pastors on Martin Luther King Boulevard on Sunday understand this type of history? The ones that are getting upset because the Israelites are in front of their church telling them that they're doing nothing for the community. You can find this. Everett Ferguson wrote this paper, The Problem with Eusebius in Christian History, November of 2001. Let's finish this thing. This is key, people. The Assemblies of Israel, where we went from house to house. And because our temples and synagogues are being destroyed, especially 70 AD, where they surrounded us. And the original apostles and the people that were in the way, I believe we're going to read that, hear that in a minute. But we see Eusebius as being a key figure. I wanted you to hear that because we always reflect back to Constantine like he did this by himself. Constantine didn't do this by himself, but that was the ushering in of the cross, idolatry, and paganism, and the merging of paganism with the house of Israel and what we believe. The ultimate goal was to wipe us out and turn it over to Catholicism because there was a war on cultures and nations. But let me, I digress. Roman Catholics began to try to conquer the original Hebrew believers. They were impacted because they walked amongst the original apostles. And guess who else they walked amongst? The hundreds of people that rose, that had firsthand knowledge of people who rose from the dead when Christ came back from the dead after 3 days and three nights. These people had firsthand knowledge of that. But here come these people, these off all the Hebrews and the Israelites who had firsthand scholarship with Apostle Yochanan and Paul and Peter. Let's continue listening to this. I just had the freak to during this speech is when those they tried to wipe out all the Hebrew Israelites. That's a nation, a race, a culture. We just established who they are in Deuteronomy 7. And the Catholic Church was busy through their race and their nation. And they were trying to wipe us out. They waited till they died off. And then they replaced them with Catholic bishops, the names that she read in the beginning. Oh, this I would wish that the ignorance would cease of the Black Christian Church today of what they are still representing. The destruction and colonizing of our people and preaching another God We're going to get into it more, so let me stop because this is just intriguing so much. Hold up, y'all. You hear this? Adrian, in the year 18, you got to know that all hell broke loose after Christ had ascended and the apostles were taken over and trying to preach and spread this gospel. And many of you don't study the siege of trying to get rid of these people that were carrying the true message of Yeshua. They forbidded these people from going to Jerusalem. It was our custom to go to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, to go back to the land. They put out a decree. We call them mandates today. They put out a decree, pass the law, don't let them back in there. This goes way back. Let's get some more into this so we understand how the so-called church has replaced Israel and Israel's no more. Yeah, Hebrews. I'm sorry, y'all. After they got everybody out, see, it goes way before the Balfour Treaty, way before the 1900s. They ran everybody out of the land and then colonized it and put a whole nother race of people in there. This race mixing. I'll let you keep listening to these papers. This is good history. Say it. Let me give you some clarity so that you do understand. She's talking about A.D., early on A.D., before we got into the 1900s. The only thing you know are the 2000s. We're going back to 20, the year 20. The 20s is the time of Yeshua's resurrection and the time of the first Pentecost. And then she's talking about the 30s, Saul of Tarsus. And then what happened in 70 AD. But look at her, can you? This is the history that is lacking amongst our people. If you want to call yourself the church, Christian church, got the Church of God in Christ and other denomination organizations walking around here dressing like the Roman Catholics, Catholicism, which does not worship our God. We'll get more into that later. I'm trying not to interrupt this. We got about, I don't know, about 5-10 more minutes on this. That is in the 50s, people, not the 1950s, the year 50. As Gentiles were coming in, already started saying, we ain't got to do what the real Hebrews did. Us, the indigenous. So a lot of them stopped circumcision, started eating other foods. Things started to creep in. They were trying to systematically destroy the nation of true Eber Yasha'Allah. In the 50s, people, Satan was at work through religion to abolish us and our belief system. Why there's still a, let's continue. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion about Peter being the first pope, but it was Simon masquerading as Peter. Simon Magus, Simon the sorcerer. And it, all the popes have been Gentiles ever since. But that's a whole nother, like she said, another lesson. We've got to present all the information. Let's continue with this replacement theology. Right. Let me pause. Israelite Jews with Catholic Church, the church, we see that it was deeply steeped into mystery religions. Secret society started there, and they're packed with fallen demons because they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, which was poured out, we saw, like, in the 20s. Once again, not 1920. Talking about the year 20. And Simon Magus making love potions for the church, making Viagra back then in the 70s. Simon Magus, you see Simon Sorcerer in the Bible. He's the one who offered to pay Peter and them for the power that they had. Where'd you get this power to be able to cast out demons? I'll pay you for this anointing, this power. It's like, you can't pay for this. There's a price. So he was sorcerer. And what today, the story is pharmaceutical medicines. That's why, you know, you think I'm making a joke when I say Viagra, but when they said he was making up potions, that fact, in essence, is what it was. Into wanting to have sex. And then all types of other wickedness, they begin incorporating demons into Christianity at an early time. And the practice continues today. The majority, and it's sad to say, I'm about to say, the majority of your Christian churches, their leaders are in secret societies. They are Freemasons, Eastern Stars, Knights Templar, Skull and Bones, and they've made a pact with the devil and operating through a false power underneath a false deity with paganism steeped all in here. Let's listen to a little bit more of this, and then we're going to get into some of the historical facts. We'll close out with our scripture reading of Jeremiah. Christians, huh? The book of Enoch 104 rules us that they would go in and begin to change our texts, add and take away scriptures. That's why the Most High said anybody who adds or takes away from my word is in danger of hellfire. So they actually injected the word Easter, erased Passover, and then did a trick to where they give you a Strong's reference saying that if you go to the Greek and look it up, it's Passover. Why didn't you just leave Passover there? Because we're talking about two separate. Easter is a Roman tradition. It has nothing to do with the Most High. That's Astarte, the worship of Astaroth. That is mother goddess worship. And that's when the Christian church is packed out the most for this big pagan celebration. That has nothing to do with Passover. And she's saying Jewish, but she's in reference to the Hebrews. And what we're responsible for is Leviticus, the 23rd, and all the fathers' holy days and Sabbaths that are listed.
listen to some more of this. I'm not reading the scriptures today. Thank you for the information. It's very well. That is very interesting. If you, the history is right there, and it's during Constantine's time. And the biggest battle about the 14th day, there was so much happening during this time, people. The temple had already been destroyed. You had King James trying to compile the books of 1611, and then you had the Nicene Council trying to decide what books they were going to let go, while they were pushing forth and colonizing and trying to destroy Hebrews, Israelites, and Israel and replace the 12-tribe theology with Christian church. This is the history that's to understand. If you're continuing a religion of bondage called Christianity today and enslaving our people and telling them you don't want them to know the truth of their ancestry, forget Ancestry.com, pick up these books and open them up and read what happened to what we believed and followed. What we're working up to, Eber Yashima, is we're coming back in our awakening to the original truth before we were colonized spiritually, not just the land, and given pagan colors to worship demons. This is a lot, people. Let's go to another one responsible. During that time, Wikipedia will go to, that was Marcion of Sinope. He was also one of the early Christian fathers, a Christian theologian in early Christianity. Marcion preached Jesus. I'm going to say Jesus Christ. This is just the blonde, blue-eyed one, who was an entirely new alien god, distinct from the vengeful God of Israel who had created the world.
he considered himself a follower of Paul the Apostle, whom he believed to have been the only true apostle of Christ. So he created a doctrine called Marcionism. Marcion published the earliest extant sixth collection of New Testament books. What did Marcion do? He was like, we just read about the early church fathers, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian. They all denounced Marcion as a heretic, and he was excommunicated by the Church of Rome. He published the first known canon of Christian secret scriptures. He beat the 1611 to the book. He published his, the first one to put together a book, and guess what it consisted of? 10 of Paul's epistles, as we have today, and the Gospel of Marcion, which is a shorter version of the Gospel of Luke, a concise edition of the Gospel of Luke. So he took the Gospels, New Testament, which mostly consisted of all of Paul's books, and got rid of all of our books. And later on, the Nicene Council did the same thing. Took over 1,000 of our scrolls and said, let's just compile 66 books, because that was their worship of Satan and secret societies. And then they not only gave us the 66 books, they had the nerve to go in and change verses, scriptures, and take them out. Believe it or not, 1611 Bible had the Apocrypha. But then in 17, they took the Apocrypha out. They didn't need that either. So you have to understand, when we were put into slavery, when we were put into slavery, we were retaught our book. We were able to really be deceived by our own book because they taught it to us in English and we were learning a new language. They just completely destroyed not only the original bishops of Israel, they tried to destroy our language by introducing a demonic language known as Latin, which you'll find heavily used at the Vatican in the Catholic Church, and then also the English language. The original language was that of Hebrew. I'm going to read you some more about Marcion because there was something else that was very interesting. Marcion was born son of Bishop Pontus, Philologus of Sinope. Young men in Marcion's old age described him as a mariner and a shipmaster, respectively. Sometime in the late 130s, Marcion traveled to Rome and joined the Roman Church and made a large donation of 200,000 sesterces to the congregation there. So you had people that began financing this replacement of Israel with the Catholic Church and their popes. And him compiling this book, that is my main thing I want you to see about who Marcion was, how he worked with the Roman Church, and he was responsible for taking both Luke and 10 of Paul's letters, which what till this day people are still just reading Paul's letters, and they're confusing to most people. Peter told us this in 3:15-17. How can you even understand the letters and epistles and teachings of these apostles if you don't understand the writings of the prophets and what you call the Old Testament? That's a fallacy. And the Torah. And then on top of that, the Apocrypha was a part of the so-called Old Testament. The Book of Maccabees, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Jubilees, all of these were left out because they had to hide the evidence of what they were creating, which was a different church, Christianity. So here, that was what you just heard, and I think the sister was good. It wasn't her writing. It was a school writing, and I think I gave you where you can find that at. Let me go back to it real quick. Let's see if I can find it. You can go to U-Catholic to find out about Pope Linus. Other writing, The Siege of the Jews under Adrian. That's written by the Church Fathers, Church History, Book 4. And find out about how the church started with Eusebius. Then there's also, one second.
use one more writing. Everett Ferguson, The Problem of Eusebius, Christian History, November 2001, where you can find that information. Brothers, it was written in 3 and 2 that Israel is the only family he's ever known on the earth. So now we see the sinister, demonic foundation aspect of Christianity, which was used to replace Israel. We see Deuteronomy 7, where he established for 1,000 generations that we would be his people and establish covenant that was with us. So with that foundation being led, let's go to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, before we get ready to close out and make some things clear as to the lie that's still being pushed till this day of people and their inclusionism all under the auspices of Acts, saying that we're done away with, and they're making themselves Israelites. And you know, people, the reason they don't want to include themselves, as we read in the beginning, that Marcion literally said that the God of the Old Testament, which is the God of today, he acted like this God went away, was mean, evil, and killed people. He said the new God of the New Testament is Jesus' Father, who's a loving and forgiving God and includes all nations. And we're all one. So he was preaching multiculturalism. Marcion was introducing it because they were like, he's a loving God. That's all we hear today now with the ABCD LGBTQ society, that love, people need to learn how to love. Because they know that we serve a God that does not want us to tolerate the intermixing of the wheat and the tare. He did tell us that when I come, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. I'm going to separate the wheat from the tare, because while we were asleep and not paying attention, because we were put to sleep and we're wakening up now, Satan came in and sowed seeds amongst us. What are those seeds? Those seeds is the intermingling and the intermixing of the races and disobeying Deuteronomy 7 and intermarrying with hybrid species. Not only that, the seed of Satan was prophesied that his head would bruise our heel and our heel his head, that he would put enmity between our seeds. We call today a problem with racism and inequality. It's not racism. We're two different bloodlines and seed lines, and we're trying to fix it, but we can't fix it. All we can do is come back to our covenant, our promise, the commandments, the laws, and wait for the Most High at this point to separate us. But we're not done away with. We are still very present, and he made the promise. Jeremiah prophesied to what's happening and how things are going to happen. So let's read Jeremiah through and through. Comment on the way. But I hope that blessed you so that you can see how Christianity's been a deception. Hip-hop is not our culture, and the black church is not our culture. You've been deceived. That's what we've been given and what they tell us we can do, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Because even in that misappropriation culture and what we're following and pursuing, all the other nations copy what we do. I mean, the whole world. In China, we're back sagging and rapping. They in Korea having church on Sunday and singing black gospel music. Because we were ordained to be a priesthood and to teach the nations and bring them to the commandments of the Creator. But since we're falling out of place and adapting other components to be our culture, hip-hop's not your culture. Black Sunday church and after church Sunday dinner, that's not your culture. I'll get into that in a minute about culture. Let me see. I'll just pop up in your head. And let me see if I can find it real quick. A definition for you. You have to forgive me. So I'm going to lay it up. I have to try and see if I can find it. So many notes around here. Bear with me, and then we're going to get into Jeremiah, because Jeremiah brings it out. If I can't find it, I'm going to move on. Oh, God, that's another one. The Gentiles, that spared. I might do that next week, talk about the few Gentiles that will be spared. The Bible prophesies and tells us that there will be nations out of Jerusalem. They don't get to come to Jerusalem. They get to come to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and then go home. These people are trying to incorporate themselves into the 12 tribes and all that. That is not your bloodline. You are not E1B1A. You are not a part of the genetic makeup. But some of you are going to get the opportunity to achieve eternal life. But it is not you who are boasting against the original Israelites. You see, you don't need salvation. You're teaching kids to watch backs and look out for the police who are in secret societies and giving full green light to kill us if they want to pull the trigger and get off free. Can't get a job, hated, families destroyed, broken, Willie Lynch letters, curses. That's not you. Spoken of in Deuteronomy 28. That's another one I heard last week. In case you remember, read Deuteronomy 28 and not seeing what I see, but seeing what he sees and saying that's the church. It's not the church. It's talking about a nation, a race of people that were put on slave cargo ships, brought back into Egypt, which means bondage. Mitzrayim, the house of back of the U.S. A pyramid. The church has to do with people who are being harassed till this day who will not receive reparations until our Savior comes back. It's not the church to include you. You are a wicked people who used to get out of church on Sunday mornings and then go get the local black man and hang him at a picnic underneath a tree. Tell me what you're doing in the name of God. I rebuke you. And I rebuke that notion in the name of Yeshua. Culture is the sum total of artifacts any group accumulates in its structure. You can't relegate yourself to hip-hop, black church. It's the sum total of artifacts which any group accumulates in its struggle for autonomy or survival. We're struggling to survive. We are a resilient people, but we do not have full autonomy yet. Rest my case. Excuse my passion. Jeremiah 31. Well, I be the God of all the families of Israel. He is the God of the families of Israel, not the church. And they shall be people. First Timothy said the Lord, which were left of the sword found grace. It will keep going. The ones that will be left that will endure until the end. That won't go get the shot, the jab. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. That's Jacob and the seed of Jacob. Verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Israel, people, not the church. Not the Rainbow Coalition. Jesus loves the little child. Get out of my face. Seed of the fallen, demon seed with recessive genes. Verse 4, again, I will build thee. Hallelujah. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. It's coming. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. It's coming. Back in the 70 of AD, they drove us out of the land. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. So there shall be a day that the woman upon Mount Ephraim arise and let us unto the Lord our God. For thus said the Lord, sing and shout among the chiefs of the nations. Publish ye praise. Ye and say, O Lord, save thy people. The remnant. Can you find church in Ephraim? 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, woman and her that together a big return. Come and get. Stop listening to the camps telling you to get a passport, and we'll call you and let you know when it's time for us to move. We're going to come pick you up. I should hit you upside the head if you even believe in that. Anybody, any man tell you something like that.
Napoleon complex. It's ridiculous. First aid says, I will bring them from the north country. The northern countries, all throughout Africa, North America, South America, Canada, Alaska, and the islands. He's collecting and gathering us. You want to try to figure out how he's going to figure out. Verse 9. Come with weeping, supplication, I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to the church. Israel, the church. Israel, the church. Ephraim. The reason he says Israel and Ephraim, Ephraim representing the 10 tribes and Israel representing Judah, the house of Judah and Benjamin and Levi. Verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the eye. I'll fall off and say, is that Israel? Have him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. The Most High caused us to be scattered. And guess what? Why he did that? To our benefit. Because if we were in a concentrated region, they would have did us just like they did Black Wall Street. Drop dynamite and bombs to destroy us for seeing the prosperity we had and the unity we had. They did it in New York, the land, the area they call Central Park, was a black little town as well that was prosperous. Everywhere where we were gathered and centralized, it was easy for them to destroy us. The scattering, that part of the curse, but was also to our benefit. So that's why now they're using DNA to try and locate us. And so they're using DNA, say, oh, there goes some of them over there. We just got their blood samples. They went in for a checkup and we checked their blood samples and they got that E1B1. Trying to destroy you people. Let's make sure that we put them in certain areas. I did a lesson years ago about how they centralize our water systems so that they can channel water off to certain districts and control the type of water and the quality of water that goes into those neighborhoods. When you see all your sisters, we want to know that they're danger because you're concentrated there where they know where you are. Plants, they'll explode and let the gas out. Power plants, radiation plants, where they can make sure that the water that is channeled into that small city or region is fluoridated to kill your pineal gland and full of toxicity. He scattered us to protect us. And that's why he said right here, he's going to be the one to gather us. He calls us, he that scattered Israel will gather him. He's going to do this. Not your elder or your bishop. Verse 11, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Did you hear that? That's what we're dealing with now, with this technology. Esau, these Edomites, and the controlling of their commonwealth and trying to take away the little paper money system and go to their digitized money system and trying to introduce DNA into our bodies, foreign DNA, and their chemtrails, their things. Hand is stronger than ours. I'm going to come and help us salvation. Because Satan has it with their hands. They have a grip on us. Let's finish reading. Verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil. And for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. We're talking about Israel, not the church. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy. We're going to stop this crying. And will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrows. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. And my people shall be satisfied with goodness, said the Lord. Thus said the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus said the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, said the Lord, and they shall come again from the land therein. He's going to dry our eyes from all this, our people being thrown in jail, being shot down in the streets, murdering each other. The just pure hatred by every nation Psalms 83 said is confederate against us, that want to make the name of Israel no more, wipe us out, which is the United Nations now. They don't want you around, people, but they don't want to let you go either. 17, and there is hope thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come into their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock accustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. See, we're waking up from the sleep factory, and we're repenting as he's waking us up from what we used to be. We're coming back to him. If my people who are called by my name. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels have troubled for him. This is the Most High saying he wants his kids back. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the way. Even the went to turn again. Virgin Israel, turn again to these thy cities. We're starting to focus back on going home. We're sick of this, of Babylon. Babylon is being destroyed. Jeremiah has seen this. He's like Enoch. He's prophesying to a remote generation. Verse 22, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. Not, you know, a woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, not the church. As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, in all the cities thereof, to gather together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. I have satiated the weary souls, replaced every soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Then let's look at the new covenant. Behold, the day comes, said the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beasts. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. So he said, I watched over the destruction because he was so rebellious as a people, so full of adultery, wanting to worship other gods and follow other nations. I had to chastise you good, and he's spanking us. It ain't the white man, the Chinese man, the AAPI, the laws and all that. No, it's because of our rebelliousness. And I know the other people don't want to see us. Some of our people, only 11 years old, down an Asian lady, and it's they definitely don't want those people to be the people. But guess what? They're Israel and lost their way. And some of them have demons in them. That's why we know that 2/3 of our people will be destroyed, because they don't want to come to Babylon, this system or its wickedness, the things that they learned while in captivity, to be thugs, prostitutes, pole dancers, strippers, whores, thieves, manipulators. These people have adapted these customs and have been willing to sign contracts. And he told us to make no covenants with these other nations. That's a signed contract. Make no pacts with them. They're your enemies. And we see it. They're destroying all the young people who kill them. And these people have to sacrifice people. In the first chapter that talks about Israel, not the church. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass, no, skip to 29. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are sown edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Jeremiah says this, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not the church. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, the ones that broke the laws in Deuteronomy 28, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was their husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in your inward parts and write in your hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their sins, their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus said the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea. When the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Pay close attention, the church, and you Edomite pastors, that's making yourself the lords over the church. And then you Christian pastors that's following their leadership. Israel have been done as other 30s. The stars, if they depart from before me, said the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. He said, that's the, oh, if they have, if the star, sun, moon, sun, stars, those ordinances that I created, if that ceases, then Israel ceases. And as I look up, it hasn't ceased. So this says Israel is not done. He has not replaced Israel with the church. Verse 37, thus said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done. Oh, I should have gotten rid of Israel because they've done a lot, all that they've done. The wickedness that we see our people do that make us shake our heads. He said, but check this out. If heaven can be measured, they can't measure the heavens because they got you believing that they are going up into outer space, but won't tell you about Psalms 19 that there's a firmament that keeps them from going into outer space. And they can't measure from one end of the firmament to the other. And he said, if you're able to, then I'll get rid of Israel if you're able to do that. He said, you can't even measure the depths of the ocean. You don't know where it ends, where it starts. Man wants you to think he's God. And he instilled himself into Christianity, the church, gave you an image of Caesar Borgia to worship, and has distorted the everything, the paintings, the writings, and brought in his paganism. These people ain't your people, the church. He said, after everything, he said, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath. He know you can't get to Sheol and Tartarus. You're not allowed. You don't have access down there. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon Hill Gareth, and shall compass about the gulf. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down anymore forever. When he fixes it, it's going to be fixed forever, and he's going to get rid of this tear that's growing with the wheat, trying to be like us, act like us, think this. It's not going to happen. Get rid of it. Let's close. See, I want to use Paul try to confuse the people as they did in the early days with Easter, Passover, blending paganism, and killing off all the Hebrew Israelites. Let's listen to what Paul said in Romans 11 and 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Let's not forget, this is after Christ has ascended. And the church is, you know, this is like after the 20s. It's probably around the 30s. 30 AD. And what did he say? This was as the church was creeping in, the Catholic Church was creeping in with Christianity to get rid of the, you know what we used to say? It's in this book. We were called people of the way. We were people of the way. We never used Christianity. Paul said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, a seed of Abraham, and of the tribe of Benjamin, the southern kingdom. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, Elijah, and Michael the archangel, interceding on our behalf. And Paul was telling you. So Marcion, you messed up with that, because Paul establishes the fact in the 30s that he has not done away with his seed. And that's why with a vehement fervor, they really tried to erase all Israelites, kill all apostles, all the early apostles, and then install their Roman bishops and their popes. Israel will never be done away with, and you will never run to say or continue to preach and teach our Bible. We are the royal priesthood that was chosen by the Most High. I rest my case. So with that being said, know that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Keep on learning. Our time won't be long, because we're exposing all the lies with facts, not opinions. Do the study. And my family, my people, y'all got to close these Sunday services with these lies. It's got to stop. Come back to the Most High, the Shabbat, the Sabbath, the dietary laws, and what truly is worship of the Father. Christ is not God. Yeshua HaMashiach is the Son of God who came to sacrifice for us, for the house of Israel. All praises to the Most High. Shabbat Shalom.